Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 22. If you did not bring a Bible, there's a pew Bible in front of you. I would encourage you to turn to page 722. You'll find Matthew 22 right there on page 722. Last week we started a message entitled, You and Your Bible. You and Your Bible. We saw several things. We saw last week that your Bible is reliable. We saw that it's profitable. We saw that it's profitable and that it'll bless you if you obey it. It'll prosper you if you obey it. It'll make you successful if you obey it. It'll make you wise. It'll give you direction. It will give you good judgment. It will increase your faith. It will keep you from sin. It will help you know God's will. It will give you strength to keep on going. It will teach you how to enjoy life. It will cause your prayers to be heard. And it will give you God's eternal perspective. That's enough reason to read the Bible. Can you say amen to that? We get insight from the Word of God that will benefit us and help us do what is right. The Bible tells us that not only is it reliable and not only is it profitable, but our Bible is discernible. And we want to talk about that this morning. In Matthew chapter 22, Jesus has been approached by different groups challenging him, asking him questions, and they're trying to stump him concerning the doctrine that he teaches. We come down to verse 23, and he is approached by the Sadducees. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. They did not believe in miracles. They did not believe in angels. They did not believe in the supernatural. That's why they were sad, you see. The Sadducees did not believe in the miraculous truth of God's word. And so they're going to come and question Jesus on the resurrection. And they really feel that they've got a story that will stump him. Now, I honestly believe that the Sadducees were lying. I think they're going to tell him a story about seven brothers and one wife. And I really think this story is at least exaggerated in order, again, to make a point. Now, they did not say that we're making up this story. They did not say this is a parable. But they tell this amazing story. Look at it in verse 23. The Bible says, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which said that there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brethren. Now, that's true. That's what the law said. And the Jewish people were to obey that. Now, there were with us, they say, seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased. And having no issue, he left his wife unto his brother. So he didn't have any children. So he left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third, unto the seventh. They all died, leaving this one widow. And the last of all, the woman died also. This lady did not have a good life. She dies. Therefore, their question is, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Now listen to Jesus' answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. I want you to read that with me out loud. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. You're making a huge mistake because you don't know the scripture nor the power of God. You don't understand the powerful God that you serve. He is able to raise the dead. But the basic reason you don't understand the Word of God and the power of God is because you do not know the Scriptures. Ye do err not knowing the Scripture. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. This is not even a question in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Several years ago, I was in Moapa at the county fair, and there was a booth that was run by Mormons, and my boys drugged me over to that booth and said, Dad, they have some questions. That was really fun. So as we were talking, one of the things that came up was that they said, well, we believe that we are the true church because we have apostles. And I said, oh, I said, we have apostles. They said, the Baptist church has apostles. We didn't know the Baptist church had apostles. I said, yeah. I said, where are your apostles? And they named some people that were in Salt Lake. And I said, that's nice. They said, well, who are your apostles? I said, our apostles are Peter and James and John and Andrew and the Apostle Paul. Those are our apostles. And they said, oh, but they're dead. I said, they are? I said, Jesus said they're not dead. Jesus said he gave them everlasting life. Jesus said that our God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I said, Peter, James, and John are with us today, and we have their word. The Bible tells us that Jesus is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And so he approached the Sadducees approached them, and they said, or approached him, and they said, we don't believe in the resurrection. Jesus said, here's the problem. You do err not knowing the Scripture. Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning to see how important it is that we study your word, that we read your word, and that we apply your word to our lives. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Several years ago, I was asked by a lady to come to her house to talk to her and her husband because her husband had major problems. That's always a problem. It's interesting how so many husbands know the problems that their wife has, and so many wives know the problems that their husbands have, but they can't see the husbands they can't see their own individual problems. So I said, sure, my wife and I will come by because I don't go by counseling people without my wife. And so we drove over to the house. We sat down in the house and we were talking about her husband's problem. And I can remember she was sitting here, her husband was sitting there, my wife was sitting here, and I'm sitting here at their at their dining table. She began to tell me about her husband's problem. We began to discuss it, and I began to talk to him about a particular real need that he had. And then she said, now, see, I told him the same thing. You know, I'm a pastor, too. I said, you're a what? She said, I'm a pastor, too. I said, well, where do you get that? She said, oh, God called me and I got ordained at certain church. And I said, well, you need to understand something. You're not a pastor. Oh, she said, no, I'm a pastor. I said, you don't qualify to be a pastor. I said, the pastor has to be the husband of one wife. You can't do that and be qualified to be a pastor. You need to understand that. You don't qualify. I said, the Bible says that a woman ought not teach nor usurp authority over the man. I said, lady, you need to understand the Bible says that the woman is to keep silent in the church. And she said, that's not what that means. I remember what an 8-year-old boy said. If God doesn't mean what he says, why doesn't he say what he means? The word of God is clear. The Word of God is very explicit about that. And I don't care if your name is Joyce Myers or Paula White or some other flaky woman. Oh, you said that about Joyce Myers. I want you to know that woman's not right with God. The Bible says that a woman ought not... This woman looked at me and she said, well, I don't teach... I don't usurp authority. I said, listen to what the Bible says. It doesn't say a woman ought not usurp authority over the man. It says a woman ought not teach or usurp authority over the man. You have no right to be teaching men doctrine, period. Well, I knew that that's what you thought. I thought, lady, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. I want you to know there are people who teach all sorts of flaky things today, and there are Christians that the Bible says are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and their lives are flaky lives because they err not knowing the Scriptures. Lady came to me one day and she said, I went to her house. And by the way, this was a dear, dear, wonderful Christian lady who I loved. My wife and I would go over and see her. She was an elderly lady. She'd been Pentecostal all of her life. And they just loved us and treated us so well. She said, pray for me. Pray for me. She said, I need faith. This lady was a godly woman. She said, I just need faith. She said, I've got this sickness. She said, I've got shingles. And she said, I'm just hurting. And she said, I know it's just my lack of faith. And I said, you need to understand, it's not always God's will to heal. She said, oh, no, don't say that. She said, don't say that, Brother Dave. She said, I know if I have faith enough, it'll go away. And I thought to myself, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. The Bible says about the Apostle Paul who had laid hands on many and seen them healed. The Apostle Paul who had seen great miracles of God. The Apostle Paul who had been used in a tremendous way. The Bible says about the Apostle Paul that he left one of his co-workers named Trophimus in a place called Miletus. He left him there sick. God records that. If God wanted everybody well, why didn't Paul leave him well? He didn't. He left him sick. Paul said about himself, he said, I have a thorn in my flesh. Had a Pentecostal preacher look at me and say, that wasn't in his flesh. That was a spiritual thing. Demons were bombarding him. Demons were giving him problems. And that's why he called it a thorn in his flesh. I said, friend, look, God said, did not say, I have a thorn in my spirit. He did not say, I have a thorn in my soul. He said, I have a thorn in my flesh. And God left it there. And he besought God three times. I looked at this lady and I thought, dear lady, you err not knowing the Scriptures. A couple came to me one day. They say, I don't understand what's going wrong, Pastor. I've had my children in Christian school from the time my daughter in Christian school, from the time she was in kindergarten all the way to the eighth grade. And now she's out in the world and she's living like the world and she's doing whatever she wants to do. And she's not living for the Lord. I said, what happened in the eighth grade? He said, well, we took her out at the eighth grade and put her into a public school. And she's been in public. She was in public school through until she dropped out when she was in the 11th grade. She said, and they both said, why didn't she turn out right? I said, let me ask you a question. While you had your child in a Christian school, I said, were you in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Were you faithful in church? Oh, we didn't have time. We were busy. We were doing this. We were doing that. We figured she had church 5 days a week, and we didn't need to be there. And I thought, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but to get together to encourage one another and to love and good works, and even more as you see the day of persecution coming your way. Oh, you do err. Don't look at God and say, oh, God, you messed up on my kid. No, you do err, not knowing the scriptures. Someone come to me and I'm at a buffet and I sit down. Our church wasn't too old at the time, just a couple of years old. And we're sitting down at this buffet. And a lady walks in, and this lady introduced, she said, oh, this is a friend of mine that goes to the church that I used to go to. And this is my pastor. And I said, hi. And she said, oh, pastor, I'm so glad I met you. Would you pray for me? I said, yes. I said, what can I pray for you? And she said, God has recently led me to divorce my husband. I said, what? She said, God hath recently led me to divorce my husband, and I think it's going to really benefit him spiritually. Maybe getting away from her would. I don't know. But I thought, quite frankly, when I looked at the woman, I thought, what kind of nut are you? You do err not knowing the scriptures. Malachi chapter 2, verse 16 says very clearly that God hates divorce. And God's word very clearly says that if you divorce your husband or you divorce your wife for any other reason but marital unfaithfulness, then you are committed adultery. That's very clear in Scripture. But she was going off of some feeling. Somebody told her something, some tradition, something she heard somewhere. But the problem was she was making a major life change and a major life decision, and it was the wrong decision because she erred not knowing the Scripture. We could go on and on and on. The Bible tells us that we get our direction from God from the Word of God. People will say that person must not be right with God because look at the trouble they're having. They're having trouble in their home. They're having trouble in their finances. They're having trouble in their business. They're having trouble here and trouble there. They must not be right with God. You do err not knowing the Scripture. The Bible says, yea, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul said, I will gladly glory in my infirmities that the power of God might be known in me. You do err not knowing the Scriptures. Some man came to me and said, Pastor, I believe that the resurrection or the rapture of the church has already taken place. The resurrection's already taken place, and that Jesus has already come. And I thought, what kind of crazy person's been talking to you? Gives me a book about this thick. And I asked him, have you read the book? No, I haven't read the book, but it tells you what I believe. And I thought, maybe you ought to read this book. You do err, not knowing the Scripture. The Bible tells us that even in Jesus' day, or in the Apostle Paul's day, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 18, the Bible says there were those who were teaching that the resurrection was already past. And they did err, not knowing the Scripture. It's absolutely essential that you know the Word of God. And therefore, you need to study the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. It's reliable. It is profitable. And it is discernible. God didn't give you this book and say, okay, you cannot. I'm giving you something that I want you to read. You'll never understand a thing about it. But I want you to read it anyway. God's Word is discernible. And it's very clear. And all you have to do is read it. And you say, hey, I want to read it. In fact, last week I said, well, the number one thing you need to do is just make a determination that you need to read it. Read it, set a Bible reading schedule that you're going to do, a chapter a day, a proverb a day, read through the Gospels. Set some time that you're going to read the Bible. You need to do that. I brought in here this morning a couple of things that I wanted to show you. First, let me show you this. Several years ago, I was driving across country, doing a lot of cross country driving, And so I decided to get a set of these, the Bible on CD. And I would listen to the Bible on CD in my home, and I'd listen to it as I was driving. Very, very neat thing. I paid $160 for a set of these back then. It just makes you feel sort of dumb when you look at a price tag here that says $80. But I just pulled this out of the bookstore. For $80, you can get the Bible on CD, and you can travel down the road. You can listen to the Bible on CD. And you can listen and listen and listen. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful tool. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I love that. But since then, just a few years back, somebody came out with this. This is just amazing. This is the complete King James Version of the Bible, Old and New Testament, that's on DVD. So you can plug this into your television set at night. You say, I'm not much of a reader. You can plug this in your television set at night, and you can read the Bible with your family, a chapter a night, and the guy reads it through. And it's a wonderful thing. And you can watch it right there. The Bible, the pages of the Bible are right there. And as they go to the next verse, the pages flip. And you read through the Bible on DVD. It's a wonderful thing. I bought mine for $30. These are $25 now in the bookstore. That's a wonderful thing. And you can put it on. By the way, if you're a slow reader, you can put this on your computer. If you have a computer, and you can put it on fast forward, and you can read really fast. I read through the Bible 4 times this past year, and the way I did it was reading this. I'm a slow reader. I'm a slow reader, like a lot of you. In fact, probably I read slower than a lot of you do. But with the Bible on DVD, you can read, and you can increase your reading ability, and you can grow spiritually. I encourage you to pick one of those up. I'm not here selling stuff for the bookstore, but we have those in our bookstore. I'm just telling you, look, do whatever you need to do, but get into some type of Bible reading program where you're reading the Bible. But not only that, you should not just read the Bible, you should study the Word of God. Study the Word of God. Be in church as often as possible. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and don't miss out on going to Bible studies. If you're here at 11 o'clock, you should be going at 9:45 to an adult Bible study. Why come and just get the main meat? Why don't you get the appetizers? I mean, I like to go out to eat. I like to go out. I just love food. When I go in and they say, do you want appetizers? I say yes. Maybe my checkbook says no, but my mind is, and my everything about me is saying appetizers, yes. And I like to look at all the appetizers. I like it when it says calamari on there. I like the places that have that that dip cheese with avocado. Good stuff. Anything. Just give it to me. I'll dip it. I like to go to Mexican restaurants, and I like to get the chips, and I like to have the chips and to drink the dip, and I like the stuff. I just like it. Why miss out on the appetizers, and why miss out on all the good stuff, and then just come and get the meat and then go home? Why not get everything that you can? It doesn't cost you any extra. You're going to Same offering plate is going to go by, and they don't have one in it back there. It's free. Get inside into church as often as possible. Go to Bible studies as often as possible. We try our best to make sure that you're getting systematic teaching of the Word of God. Then be systematic in your personal Bible study. Establish a time and establish a place where you're going to study the Bible. Now, look, it may not be every single day. There ought to be a time in your week that you set apart and you say, okay, I'm going to study the Word of God. Just like if you were taking a Bible course or you were going to take a study course for some other thing, just say, okay, I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to make it a systematic plan. Thursday evening at 5 o'clock, when I get home, from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, I'm going to have Bible study. Now, this is only going to work if you have a place that you set. See, because you're going to need some tools when you get involved in a personal Bible study. You're going to need some basic Bible study tools. I think that you ought to get a good study Bible. This is the Scofield reference. This is what I'm preaching out of right now. These are, again, available in our bookstore. And I'm not up here selling stuff for our bookstore. The reason we have that bookstore and the reason we keep the cost low is because it's a ministry to you. So when people get saved, we can say, hey, we've got some resources back there that'll help you out. But this Bible is available. There's others. There's other study Bibles. Get a good study Bible that has got cross references in it that you can check things out. Then there's some basic tools. You ought to, where your place of study is, you ought to have a dictionary, an American dictionary, Webster's dictionary. Get one there, because as you're reading the Bible, you can just reach over and say, I don't know what that word says, and you can pick that up. Get a Strong's Concordance. What does a Strong's Concordance do? What this does is you open it up and you say, I'm looking at this word here. I don't know what this word means. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the prophets by the... What does that mean? You can look this up. You can look up the word that you find, and you can say, how many times is this word being used? And you can look how many times it's being used in the Bible, and you can do what we call a word study. It's a very helpful tool. Another good thing to have is a Bible dictionary. This happens to be the Davis Pictorial Bible Dictionary, and that helps you. I like dictionaries that got pictures in it. I like anything with pictures. And so this is a pictorial Bible dictionary. You can pick one of those up. There's Unger's Bible Dictionary. There's all sorts of different Bible dictionaries, and they'll help you when it comes to when you're reading about a certain place. You say, where is Ur? And you can open this up. You can look up the term Ur. That's where Abraham came from. And you can see where Abraham actually came from. And this is a very good tool. This is called the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. And what this does is it is outlined in the same manner as your Bible. So it starts with Genesis and it goes all the way back to the book of Revelation. And what this does for you is that it gives you a cross-reference to every verse that you come across. So you say you're reading in Luke chapter 3 and verse 3, and it says whatever it says in there, you look at that verse, and every word that's in there, it will cross-reference four or five times in other places of the Bible. So you'll be able to look back and say, this is spoken about here, it's spoken about here, and you'll be able to do a cross-search in the Bible, and it'll help you to understand more of, in the context, what the Bible is talking about. Now, I say all that, by the way, let me say this. You can eliminate all of these, except the Bible itself. You can eliminate all of these study helps by getting if you're computer literate, even if you're computer illiterate, learn a little bit. You can be like me and just learn a little bit. You can get a Bible computer program like Online Bible. They're free. You can get them off disk, off somebody else's disk, because they let you have them for free. You're not violating any copyright. You can plug it into your computer, and it'll have a Strong's Concordance in there. It'll have a dictionary in there. It'll have a Bible. It'll have an illustrated Bible dictionary in there. It'll have the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge in there, and you can use those for cross-referencing. Now, if you get that, then you have your computer in where you normally study, and you have that place set aside for yourself. And let your wife know these are here because I'm planning on studying here. That way she's not frustrated and thinking, look, he's got all this junk all around everywhere. Have a place set aside, have a time set aside, and then you know that every Thursday evening, every Monday night, every Tuesday afternoon, every Saturday at noon, whatever it is, the time that you set, you're going to go to that place and you're going to study the Word of God. When you get there, have a notebook and a pencil available. Underline your Bible. Use cross references. Write down questions that you have. As you're reading through the Bible, write down questions. I can remember one time I sat down with the book of Proverbs when I was still in Bible college, and I thought, I really want to know the book of Proverbs, so I rewrote the entire book of Proverbs. I would read a verse and then rewrite it. I would read a verse and rewrite it. I had to think through exactly what that verse meant. It was very, very helpful in understanding the Word of God. Write down questions. Ask yourself these questions. Ask yourself, what is this passage about? What is he talking about? How does this apply to me personally? Okay, this is the story of that we read this morning about the Sadducees approaching Jesus and him talking about a marriage and the resurrection. How does all of this apply to me? First of all, I want to know what it's about. This is the Sadducees, the historical context. How does it apply to me? It applies to me that I know that I'm going to heaven, that there is resurrection, that there is a powerful God that's way beyond my understanding, and that I need to study the Scripture. How could this be a help to someone else? I take that passage and I say, okay, how can this help someone else? Study the Word of God. Whatever tools you need. If you say, well, I'd like some more help with this, talk to Pastor Matt. Talk to Pastor Stuart. Talk to me. Talk to your Bible study teachers. But get into a habit of weekly or biweekly or daily studying the Word of God. Read it every day. But have a time set for studying the Word of God. Number four, your Bible is not just beneficial. It's not just profitable. It's not just reliable. It's not just discernible. Your Bible is unquestionable. So what do you mean by that? I mean this. God doesn't want you to read His Word and then say, well, I don't know whether I believe that or not. My wife was doing a Bible study with some ladies several years ago. And she was explaining what the Bible says about submission to your husband. And then she was explaining about asking for forgiveness when you do what's wrong. And one lady popped up and said, I don't know whether I can buy that or not. It's amazing when we come across things that are contrary to what we want to do, how we start questioning whether God really meant what He said by what He said. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to be not just hearers of the Word, but God wants us to obey the Word. Make sure you know what is meant, then do what it says, no matter how you feel. Here's what the Bible says in James chapter 1. It says this in verse 22. But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, what is he saying? He's saying that the Word of God is like a mirror. You go to a mirror, you look at yourself. This morning I got up. I went and took a shower, and after I got out of the shower, I looked in the mirror. And my hair was like all over the place, just all wet and all over the place. And the mirror said, fix your face. Now, I know there's only so much fixing you can do. But I knew I could fix the hair. And then the mirror said, shave your face because the bright lights are there. And I know you can't tell, but when I don't shave, the pricklies are there. And so I looked at there. I thought, okay, I've got to fix the hair. So I fixed the hair. So then I got busy doing some things. And I forgot that I forgot to shave. Now, I forgot all about it. Now, again, you can't tell because I have this baby face and it's just so smooth and soft. You can't tell. But I forgot all about shaving until I got up here to preach this morning. I put my hand on my face and I said, oh, my goodness, look at that. That's like sandpaper. I got to do something about that. And look, we can look in the mirror and we can forget what we saw. God said, don't do that with the Word of God. The reason I showed your unshaved face is because you need to shave. The reason I showed your hair out of place is because, yeah, I want you to have your hair in place. The reason I'm showing you things, he says in my word, about you and your character and what you're doing with your life is so that you'll straighten up your life so that you can have a good life. If you continue therein and do what I tell you to do and won't be a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man, he says, will be blessed in his deed. So, God wants us to take His Word and apply it. Jesus said it this way. Jesus said, after giving the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, He says, look, if a person hears My Word and he does it, he's like a wise man who builds his house upon a rock. And the winds come and the floods come and that house stands. But He says, if a man hears what I say and doesn't do what I say, the storms are going to come either way. You want to be, if you want to be blessed of me, if you want to see me work in your life, if you want to have the blessing of God in your life, then he says, do, be a hearer, not a doer. Be a doer, not just a hearer. Hear the word of God and then do it. Now, you need to make sure that you know who God is talking to. You need to know the historic context. You need to know what he's saying literally and who he's talking to. You don't want to be like the guy who opened the Bible and said, okay, look, God, I just need some direction from you. And it's sort of like a magic book. And so I'm going to take my finger and I'm just going to put my finger here and whatever it says, I'll do. You don't want to do that. That's not what God wants you to do. Guy took his finger, put it there and said, it said Judas went and hanged himself. And he said, well, that can't be it. And he flipped a few more pages and he put his finger there and he looked and it said, go thou and do likewise. Well, you're going to get in trouble. That's not the way God's given his word. And God doesn't want you to take his word and interpret it that way. That's taking the Bible out of context. God wants you to study his word, look at the principles of God's word, and then apply those principles to your life. Now, you might read the story of the apostles or one of the prophets or one of the fathers and see God working in their life the way he's working in your life. And you might see a parallel. And God might lead you in that way. But you've got to understand the context and the basic teachings of the Word of God. And then when you see that it applies to your life, don't question it. Just go and do it. God wants you just to do his word. So God's word is unquestionable. If you want it to profit your life, you've got to say, okay, God, now that I understand clearly what this passage is teaching, I'm going to apply it to my life. Number five, your Bible, and this is so wonderful. You need to understand, you and your Bible is indestructible. God's word says this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. Jesus is speaking and he says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Listen to these words. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Can you say amen to that? This book is reliable and this book is indestructible. God will fulfill this book. You can put everything on it. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. God said it, and it doesn't matter what worldly philosophies come in around. Listen, I want you to understand, since the time of Christ and before the time of Christ, people have laughed at the philosophies of this book. People have mocked the philosophies of this book. There have been people that have come along and said that it just won't hold water to our science, and their science went by and by. There are people who have come along and said, we're going to prove it wrong, and they are gone, but it still stands. I want you to understand philosophies come like evolution. I want you to understand that Marxism comes and goes. I want you to know that all sorts of isms will come and isms will go, and people will say that God is dead. But I want you to know, long after they're dead and gone, God will still be on his throne, and this book will endure forever. It is reliable, it is beneficial, it is discernible, and it will, it's unquestionable, and it is indestructible. You just need to very simply say, I believe it, and I'm going to obey it, and I'm going to read it, and I'm going to study it so that I can do what it says. And if you do, you'll have the blessing of God on your life. Father, help us not to just be hearers of the word, but doers. I pray that people will study your word, apply your word, and Father, live by your word. And Father, I pray that you'll help us today to make commitments to it. Father, if there's someone here that's not saved, I pray that before they leave this place, they'll put their faith and trust in you. And I ask this in Jesus' name.